Inside the Eye live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
That didn't take...
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good morning, folks, or good afternoon, wherever you're at. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork, and I'm the host of this great program. Be with you for 2 hours today, like every week at this time slot. Welcome to Revolution Radio, if it's your first time. For a lot of people, it isn't, and we welcome all our listeners back, and we're going to have some fun today. As you know, next Tuesday is the election, and my good friend Mike Gaddy just put up a meme this morning in our group for this segment or this program, and it said something to the effect of, bright, intelligent, I'm not even organized here. We do not elect bright, intelligent people to office. We elect Democrats and Republicans. That's going to be our topic for today. And I do have a headache and I'm not thinking too straight, so I'm not going to be getting on my soapbox. So let me say hi to our panelists today. Mike Gaddy, how are you doing, Mike?
Hey, doing well. Hope all you guys are super duper.
Yeah. Also, John Breeson, how you doing?
Doing well, LB. Hope everybody here is doing well. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. Hope everybody's doing good.
I've got those mornings. And Scorpio, who goes by Dave?
How you doing, Dave? Hello, LB. Your voice sounds good today, though, even though you have a headache.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to give it. I don't know what I'm trying to give it. Some days I'm good, some days I'm bad. Anyway, thanks for joining us today, Dave. I know you've been busy down there in the South, but yeah, thanks. Anyway.
Oh, glad to come on, man. Excellent.
Yep. Who wants to start today? Let me start. I was going to mention an article I had watched by Tim Pool. I like Tim. John and I have discussed he's never going to get it because he's secular, and but he does do excellent commentary. And today he pulled up an article and called it CNN calls Trump supporters addicts and cultists. Leftists call for truth commissions after Trump, and for some reason they think I don't know, it's up in the air. Don't want to make speculations, but. They think he's going to be gone after next Tuesday. Anyway, to start off, what do you guys think? Maybe Mike first, because you posted that meme. What do you think about all this?
Well, what I would like to see gone after next Tuesday is this government. I don't really care much who's in charge of it. I mean, you can have Mr. Left Wing or Mr. Right Wing. It's still going to be chaos. It makes no difference which one you choose. We cannot fix this thing without divine intervention is my supposition, and I firmly believe that. We've allowed this thing to go too far. We have now a government ruling over a nation of cowards. So afraid of a virus that they can't see and a virus that doesn't exist. I mean, if I were sitting in a position of power, I'd be laughing my ass off. It's so easy to get a group of 300 million people and that's just in this country, to absolutely lose their minds and to throw everything they have away because of a make-believe virus.
Which brings me to the question, and I've been questioning this, who makes out or who decides that the Democrats are going to be the dumb ones and be the mask wearers, where the Trumpers, you know, are the ones out there being super spreaders, as they call them?
Well, you have to have two branches, LB. I mean, you have to have adversarial people to evoke the emotional response necessary from Bubus Americanus, because Bubus can't think, but he feels all the time. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you appeal to emotions. You get them to the best thing in the world is to get those Trump people to hate those Biden people and those Biden people to hate those Trump people. And then everything is based on emotions. There is no logic thrown in. So it's all an emotional thing. Oh, we've got to vote against him. We've got to vote against him because he's nuts. And we've got to vote against him because he told a lie. It's incredible. And if you watch the Communist News Network or PMS NBC or any of those other wonderful media outlets, all you see is emotion. It's emotion, emotion, emotion. Because they know that the American public has no intellectual capabilities and they have to feel everything. So that's where we're going.
Yep. Dave, what do you think about what I asked? Why do you think the Democrats were picked or chosen to be the non-spreaders?
Well, that's a complicated question, but, Trump has at least thrown in plenty of doubt about this. The virus. And so I don't know, you know, like Mike said, there's no solution to this government. And I think we're looking at massive chaos coming very soon. And I've noticed the mainstream media has been telegraphing or, you know, dropping little breadcrumbs for us, like, well, what are we going to do if Trump physically refuses to leave office? What's the procedure to physically drag him out of office? So I don't know. I think we're going to be in for some wild times. And I don't know if you caught this, LB, but Paris is emptying out ahead of this grand lockdown. I guess this was a couple of nights ago. Things are on the move, and boy, it's going to be a wild week coming up, LB.
Yeah, I sense that too. John, what do you think? What's going to happen next week? I know you've expressed your feelings to me.
It is my belief that Trump will win. However, there is a possibility now, all you guys don't be fooled, that Biden could win also. Now, it's my belief that Trump will win. Trump needs to win, in my opinion, so that, you know, the mass arrests and everything that the QAnon operation has pushed will happen, will not likely come to fruition. So therefore, you know, maybe we can unify together again as a movement and realize that we have been it's all been a sham, that we've been hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. Yes, though Trump has, talked about his frustration with Fauci, Jesuit Fauci, and has, you know, gone back and forth about masks. I think that's Trump's goal is the chaos candidate, is that you'll never really know what position he truly sides with. Remember, because it was his decree for a month and a half at the beginning of this lockdown. Our beginning of this pandemic, that there would be a lockdown. That was by him, not by anybody else, but by him. Now, granted, everything that's come from that since then was done by, you know, states and cities and governors, but they can all look back to Trump initially shutting us down for about 30 days and then increasing it by another I think it was like another month or two or somewhere around there, but it definitely happened. So when you look back and see that initially was done by Trump, just like Operation Warp Speed is continuing to go forward. Moderna has announced that there's at least 500 million vaccines that will be available to the public for about $35 per a dose, and there's two doses. By sometime next year, they should have 1 billion, which will be a vaccine for every person. The military is deeply involved in with Operation Warp Speed. Trump has said that, you know, they're not going to go door to door to give your vaccination. However, he has talked about the military distributing the vaccine and getting the vaccine out. So, again, that's that double speak. Trump's been very good at double speak. We'll see. You know, the Trump administration declares that the coronavirus pandemic is over, but at the same time, nothing is being done with the continued lockdowns. Trump hates Fauci 1 minute, the next minute he's praising Fauci. It's all, you know, double speak to lead to Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution. So the New World Order is marching on no matter what Trump says and does at this point. Now, I don't think it's going to go as far as the military is going to jab everyone. It could, but I don't. I think probably what's going to happen is, if you want to get on an airplane, then you need to have your Palantir approved vaccination passport that was either injected into you using the Invisible Ink platform that was put forth by MIT, that was praised by the Gates Foundation and funded by the Kochs, or something to that effect. So it's like, you know, you're leaving the country, you need to have the vaccine. I don't know if it's going to go as far as you leave the state, you need to have the vaccine. It might go as far as you go to a sporting event, you have to have the vaccine. Who knows? I think that's probably way more likely to happen than the military going door to door giving vaccines. But we really don't know. That could be possible too. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because it does seem like they wouldn't be making all these vaccines for naught. So what's y'all's opinion?
Mike, go ahead. Mike doesn't have an opinion.
Oh, yeah, I have an opinion. pardon me. Very good analysis, John. I can't find a lot of holes to pick in that. Magnificent display of Trump's doublespeak, because he no matter what position that one would believe is out there, Trump has come down on both sides of it. You know, he's pro Second Amendment, but it's take the guns first and due process second. And as you alluded to, he's the lockdown guy, and then it may not be an actual virus. So that keeps everyone agitated and on the move. Plus, it gives the opposition multiple points of attack. They can come at him on everything that way, and that is by design. In the meantime, everything that I don't watch TV. But from what I'm hearing, everything, someone told me that Biden actually said in one of his commercials, you guys can tell me if this is true or not, that if elected, he'll put an end to the virus. And that is, I wonder what wonderful doublespeak that is. Has he have some magical powers he hasn't told us about? If the virus does exist, he can magically make it go away. Of course, if it doesn't exist, making it go away would be very easy. there are so many things. This is almost, well, it is. It's a soap opera. It's a modern day soap opera. Politics has taken the place of mid-afternoon soap operas in America. Dave, what do you think?
Well, I'll just fill in a little bit more about what I've heard Biden say. I just catch things on YouTube. I don't have a television. But what he has said is he's going to trust the experts and trust the science. And if he needs to, he's going to do another lockdown. And he's also promising to mandate masks indoor and outdoors. Mm-hmm. That's how the virus is going to magically disappear. And, you know, this John brought up this thing that Trump is talking about, you know, Operation Warp Speed and using the military to distribute the vaccine. And you have to ask yourself, why would we possibly need the military to distribute little tiny vials of vaccine when, you know, you could distribute that like any other drug without a problem. And of course, when you talk about using the military, you're inherently implying force, because the military isn't going to be showing up anywhere without weaponry.
Good point. Yeah, it exemplifies the force issue. But their whole deal for New World Order is force, or totalitarianism, or at least a mild form of totalitarianism or authoritarianism. And as Mike has seen, or you know, told us over the year, last year or so, that his research shows that this is authoritarian government. And I think it's interesting that you know, they've pegged the so-called Democrats as being the anti-fascist types and supporting the Antifa and things, these riots, which it seems that they do support the riots, but the government itself is fascist, and they're trying to hide that.
Yeah, and LB, let me just throw out one other thing and just get your reaction and everyone else's reaction to it. They're going to have to declare martial law all around the world at some point in order to bring in this new system. There's no, if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, there's no other option. And just today or yesterday, President Macron was saying that they've doubled the number of military on the streets because, there was some school teacher. This is the cover story.
There was a stabbing or something.
Yeah, well, there was a school teacher that showed some drawings of the Prophet Muhammad. And, of course, that caused a terrorist attack in a church with a knife. Yeah. And because of that, we need to have double the amount of military on the streets. And you can just see they're getting things in place for martial law. I don't see any other explanation. Maybe you guys could chew on that and see what you come up with.
I think John would be best at that, because that's what he kind of investigates. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. I, Dave, you're right. I've been, to all your points, you're right. I've been watching Macron for a while, Emmanuel Macron. He calls himself the new Jupiter. Of course, he's got, you know, connections to the Rothschilds and former Rothschild and banker and everything. So, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. I'm pretty sure there's no way that because of the stabbing, there's no way that they greatly increase the presence of the, you know, of military and police on the streets. It's got to be because of the further lockdown that's going to end up happening. There's no other way about it. So it doesn't surprise me. I read an article about it was discussing Operation Warp Speed, and the military was literally like, "Well, you know, we're great at getting places to sub-zero temperatures, like the Arctic, like the top of Alaska." So that's why we have to be involved with the distribution of the coronavirus vaccine. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Pharmaceutical companies have been able to distribute things all over the world for decades. So why does the military have to be – the reason why they say they're quote-unquote involved is because they're good at sub-zero temperature distribution. And if anybody who – I asked family members who are the military, you know, the military, my stepfather used to be 82nd Airborne, and not my stepfather, my wife's stepfather, stepfather-in-law, and he was like, well, anybody who's been in the military knows that most of the time it's hurry up and wait, like, they're not going to be good for distribution at all of this, you know, so I mean, I'm like, why is the military involved, except for what Dave said? The only rational conclusion you can come to is there's going to be some, you know, take the shot by force at that point. I don't see any way around it. I mean, part of me doesn't think it's going to come to that, but a part of me goes, well, you have the military involved, and that has to be the conclusion.
Mike? Yeah. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Oh, well, the point I was thinking about, and I was just reading this, guys. John, I know you're familiar with Dr. Zeke Emanuel.
Yes.
I just absolutely
I absolutely love what he had to say, and I don't know if you've seen this or not. I will read it. It says, we cannot return to normal until there's a vaccine. Conferences, concerts, sporting events, religious services, dinner in a restaurant, none of that will resume until we find a vaccine, a treatment, or a cure. We need to prepare ourselves for this to last 18 months or so, and for the toil and for the toll that it will take. We need to develop a long-term solution based on these facts. It has to account for what we are losing while this fight goes on, things like schooling and income and contact with our friends and extended family. So they're telegraphing, they're planning on shutting things down for 18 months, guys.
Yeah, that's interesting, Mike. And what could possibly go wrong? And I just want to throw one quick thing in, LB. You know, China has pretty much gone back to full production in their economy. And meanwhile, the West, Europe, America, Canada are preparing for a massive shutdown. It almost seems like they're just handing over the top dog position in the world to China on purpose.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they take over. But it seems like, you know, what Trump said, he's taken over or built the military back up. So we know Obama effectively destroyed the military. And so you don't know what's going on. What I do see is, you know, the difference between the left media and, of course, there's Fox. And I've seen it. Distinction between the two immensely. I think they're taking down the American, you know, empire as far as who controlled it over the past 200 years. They've been letting these elitists get in power, and they're taking it down because the media is controlled now by Rupert Murdoch, basically, and that's the truth in Fox. And Australia is kind of supporting Trump. So if you're to see two different factions, I think the useful idiots, which I call the Democrats, are being thrown under the bus right now. And we're going to be seeing, you know, Britain and the Zionists taking over America, where they, you know, the American empire or the people, the rich people of America have controlled it. For the most part, over the past 200 years, I think they're being done away with is what I see right now. So I think there is maybe some truth to Trump taking things back, but who knows? We just got to keep our eyes open and kind of watch this. John, do you have any input on that or comment?
I guess since you brought up Fox News, I guess I'll mention about Tucker Carlson. Did you guys see the case of the missing thumb drive with all the supposed Biden documents on it?
I did.
I heard about it. Tucker, they found it. They magically, you know, UPS magically found it. And then Tucker was, you know, going on a spiel about, well, we wish you could have showed those documents, but it was missing. And here's an official statement from UPS, which I believe the official statement's real because I've seen UPS put it out. But the interesting thing is, towards the end, he goes, well, there's been a lot of unfounded rumors and a lot of people saying, you know, a lot of things that we cannot verify. And I'm paraphrasing about, you know, about Hunter Biden and everything that's being reported right now. And, well, my wife and I, we've been friends with the Bidens for years, with Hunter Biden, his wife. And, you know, Hunter Biden had a lot of demons, and, you know, when I was really close to him, he would hide those demons from me. But, you know, I stopped short to say that he's a good guy. You know, I'm going to stop short to say I feel completely sorry for the way he's been treated. And maybe we should leave Hunter Biden alone. We should leave him alone, you guys. He's been through enough. Hey, anybody out there who thought Tucker Carlson's our guy? I told you otherwise, but you keep want to believe it. He's as blue blood as he come. His father, Dick Carlson, was you know, the head of Voice of America and public broadcasting. He married an heiress to the Swanson fortune, who became Tucker's stepmother. He's blue blood as he come. Tucker's not a guy that you can go get a beer with and have a chat that he presents himself on Fox News. He's one of them. He's always been one of them. He said anybody who believes 9/11 is an inside job should leave the country, okay? We should get, because we're not patriots. He's not our guy. And this is further proof. So all you guys that are like, oh, no, Joe Biden's going down, and the new revelations, and yes, Joseph Biden, as corrupt as they come, he was one of the most corrupt senators the United States ever had in the modern times, if not the most corrupt. And yes, the Burisma emails that were on the Hunter Biden laptop, which have been verified, are extremely damning, and Hunter Biden should be brought up on charges. And Joe Biden, too, through all this. However, there's a big problem with Stephen K. Bannon and Rudolph Giuliani and Bernard Kurik, who, shame on you guys. Shame on anybody who's like, well, look what Rudolph Giuliani's saying about Biden. I mean, you guys know he was involved as deep as he can with the 9/11, and Bernard Kurik as well. Bernard Kurik, when he was he was doing something. It was a position post over there in Iraq. He was taking loans from Israeli a billionaire that he was later, you know, convicted for, and Trump pardoned him. So come on, if you lie in a bag with dogs, you're going to get fleas. These people cannot be trusted. This isn't Assange. I have questions about Assange putting out the Podesta emails on WikiLeaks. Remember when even CNN couldn't deny those emails were real, and they were like, well, you know, you shouldn't view them because only the press can view them, and if you view them, you might get arrested. That's the best they could come up with. They're outright denying this laptop. These people don't have the clout to bring this forward, and so it's not going to sway the election. No one cares except for us and conservatives, because it's like a freaking echo chamber. All right, unless Hunter Biden gets arrested, no one is going to care, and that's sad because they're criminals and they're crooks. But this is not going to shift the election. And by Tucker Carlson, literally, he's supposed to be our guy on Fox News, pretty much saying the same thing. Yeah, good luck.
Hey, that brings us up to the break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned. We still got an hour and a half to go.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Jason, see, I went to the big guys for the money. I was ready to prostitute myself in the manner in which I talked about it. But what happened was they said, come back when you're 40, son.
Well, we're back. That was our good friend Joe Biden a few years back. So, he's a prostitute. He whored himself out to the establishment long ago, is what he was saying there. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We're back with the second half hour of the program today. We were talking about how corrupt the candidates are, and that was just an example of it. That's one of my favorite clips from Biden. To show that he's is in bed with corruption as you can be. And like I've said over the years, that this insurgent government of Reconstruction has a foundation of graft and corruption, which started with General Grant. His first two terms in office were filled with it. And basically, it's a foundation, and that's what's been going on ever since then. Dave, you had something to add to what John ended with last segment.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of add on to what he said, because I totally agree with what he was saying about Joe Biden. And the other reason this is going to be covered up and nobody is going to go to jail, not even Hunter Biden, it's because this is just another day at the office for the Washington, D.C. insiders. America has been for sale for a very long time. Both sides of the both wings of the same bird essentially participate in this kind of deal making. And it's really just another day at the office for these people. So it has to be covered up at all costs.
I guess we echo each other. Anyway, it's pretty obvious for the people that do their own research. Anyway, Mike, do you have something to add? It's your turn.
Yeah, I got something to add. Let's get John back on there. I love that passion. John, knock him out. I love the part.
I don't have anything else.
I love the part especially about Tucker Carlson, because people, he would not be on primetime TV if he wasn't bought and paid for. What makes you people think they're going to let someone on to who actually tells the truth? Now, they're going to throw in a little sprinkle of truth here and there to keep you hooked, but there's never going to be anyone on there who's going to expose what's actually happening in this government. It's just not going to happen. But they keep old Boobas hooked on these wonderful Tucker Carlson deals.
They even kept me off Alex Jones for years.
Knock him out, John. I love that passion, buddy.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Mike, you're 100% right. I mean, yeah, I remember when I voted for Trump in 2016 because I was convinced that, you know, he was our guy and he was fighting the deep state for us and he was going to come against them and everything. And I remember, you know, And it was Alex Jones that kind of wrote. I'd stopped listening to Alex Jones, but I would tune in every so often to see what he was said. And he was starting singing the praises of Trump. And I was like, oh, well, really? Maybe there's something to this, even though I should have known better because I hadn't really been listening to him for a very long time, really trusting him. You know, but I guess I wanted to be fooled. I mean, as soon as I saw Trump go down the escalator, I was like, man, that's going to be the president. Somehow I knew. And then, you know, I started listening to Trump, and candidate Trump back in 2016 said some decent things, you know, and talking about, you know, the United States has done some bad things and, you know, the CIA should be held accountable. And I'm like, yeah, you know, sure. And I, you know, and so I even went so far as I started listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity thinking they had flipped and they were going against the cabal. And that's why they were praising Trump. And that was before I knew about the Council for National Policy. And I'm looking back and I'm like, how stupid was I? How gullible was I to ever think? You know, there's people today who consider themselves to be truthers.
Hey, John, I'm sorry. Did you hit your mute by accident there? I just wanted to ask you the question.
Yes, by accident.
What was your aha moment when you first realized you'd been duped?
I during the 2016 election, my friend of mine sent me a link to a movie called The Secret Right Volume 1 by Josh Reeves that talked about the CMP. And I watched it and I kind of dismissed it. I was like, Alex Jones would, because if I watched the second part, I would have known that Alex Jones was part of the Council for National Policy. That's why he never talks about it. So I was sitting here and I was like, you know, I was like, eh. You know, I would have already known about this by now. Alex Jones would have told me. I would have heard Jeff Rentz tell me. Someone would have told me, you know, it can't be right. But when I started seeing Trump, you know, putting some of these members of the CMP in his cabinet initially and everything, and then, you know, Mike Pence as vice president, I started having some really, really odd, you know, feelings. But it took a good 6 months to a year for me to finally put it all together and be like I was duped. But I remember I went back and watched a few, I think it was around January 2017 or February 2017, both parts of The Secret Right Volume 1. And I remember watching number 2 and just being in my kitchen and just realizing, I was like, no, how could I miss this? You know, I started realizing that I was being duped and it was starting to hit me in the stomach. And yeah, I still had some maybe hope that maybe it was Trump versus the world and he didn't know the CMP. But then again, Alex Jones would go on his show and bragged, you know, Donald Trump's a John Birch Society president, and he's, you know, with all of these generals, and they all praise him and everything like that. And, you know, and now looking back on that, I'm like, okay, now I see. That's the game. You know, so yeah, I mean, it was flaunted in our face the whole entire time, but many people didn't choose to look at it. And so what does Trump do before the Republican National Convention this year? He addresses the Council for National Policy. And what does the CMP do? They play it live instead of being secretive. So you can hear Trump praise them all and praise Israel. You know, he's praising Israel for like 5 minutes and everybody's standing up and clapping about how much they love of everything that he's done for Israel. And that he could, if he ran for president or prime minister in Israel would have been the correct term, but he said president in Israel, and he would be elected president to the CMP. And they're all like, yay, you Trump, you're the best, you know. And it's just, come on, you guys, really, really, Trump's really our guy. He's not.
It's happening. No, you haven't seen the crowds. I've been paying attention to that. He had 30,000 people show up at a rally in Arizona recently. And
call it a personality.
Definitely. There's no doubt about that. I haven't seen such crowds since watching the clips of Hitler during the Second World War. It's a similar program which is going on. As John and I have discussed in person or in private, rather. I really think that, you know, the Jesuits are there. You got Pence kind of in the background. And who's the other guy? His name slips my mind here. The other guy. Who's the guy that stands behind Trump a lot? John? Costner? No, not Costner.
Oh, Jared Kushner.
Kushner, son-in-law. Yeah. So, That's the Zionist faction. So they're running in the background right behind him. So you got those two factions are there, and things are going as planned. Biden, you know, they're kicking him, throwing him under the bus right now. Like I said, some of these useful idiots they've used over the years, they're just kind of pushing them out of the way. I think Tucker Carlson is probably one of the upper echelon, similar to Vanderbilt on this, the Vanderbilt on CNN that goes by what's his name?
Anderson Cooper.
Cooper, yes, thank you. My name, it's like I said, I have a headache this morning. It's blocking things. But, yeah, so all the upper echelon are there working in the background. And it's really pathetic that the American people fall for this. You know, when I got into this back in the 90s, I fell for Ross Perot. I don't know how deeply involved he was, but he seemed to be honest. I think he didn't get out of the election process until they threatened his daughter, I believe, if that's true. Is that true, Mike? Didn't they threaten his daughter to get him to back off?
That's his son. Story.
That's the story.
Because yeah. He was representing a huge problem, because if he would have continued without dropping out, he was going to beat Clinton, and that they couldn't allow that to happen.
Yeah, right. So I think he was maybe more honest. Trump has been groomed for this for years. I think it's just brilliant how they brought him up under the Apprentice program, got him his TV personality, cultist, mindset, the cultist mindset in people's minds, and brought him up to be president. And, we saw him on shows like Oprah Winfrey back in the 90s, saying he might be president, this and that. So this has been well laid out for years. I'm very surprised they brought him in last election, though. Like you said, Mike, I think they needed a populist president at that time. I think they felt they were going to lose it if, things went with Hillary.
LB, there's one thing that Americans just can't seem to get through their emotionalized shell, and that is anyone who was involved in New York politics, in New York real estate, involved with the New York Port Authority, anyone who could think for a moment that anyone involved in that wasn't owned and controlled by the international bankers has to be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Well, another thing about the news and the media, the New York Post is supposedly the fourth largest publication today, and it was started by Alexander Hamilton. Murdoch owns that, too, and they're the ones that broke the story on Biden, or Hunter Biden. So that's interesting.
Hey, let's get John in here. If he's going to leave after the first hour,
good idea.
I need to hear some more of that passion, buddy.
I don't know. I'm kind of out of it now. I kind of spun myself out. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll know on Tuesday, hopefully, right? There'll be a landslide of whomever wins that we'll know, and they won't go on for weeks or months until determine who's won the presidency. So hopefully it's not a contested election, whoever wins.
Oh, it's going to be contested. There was a reason they ran this new Supreme Court justice in there in such a hurry, because we've already got the precedent from 2000 where the U.S. Supreme Court told Florida to stop counting votes and install George W. Bush as president. And
yeah,
precedent,
Amy Coney Barrett was involved in that, wasn't she? She was
right.
One of the deciding justices.
Uh-huh. And the... it has all been planned down the line, and she is going to be the deciding vote when this election goes to the Supreme Court. There's a playbook. You can almost read it.
Oh, yes, the Hanging Chads from the year 2000.
And
isn't it interesting?
That was done by Roger Stone.
Isn't it interesting they're finding a bunch of ballots in garbage cans and stuff?
Of course, that's setting up the entire process, guys.
Right.
You're setting up. You've already planted things in Bubas's mind. So you've got the seed in the mind of, hey, there was hidden this, there was hidden that, all of this stuff. you've got it done. So it's real easy to come up with this stuff then once you've got the seeds planted and Bubas has heard it. It's in the back of the mind. So, okay, when it happens, it'll all be good. Guys, I hope I'm wrong, but I am seeing this election play out into January.
Oh, yeah, I think they have to make this an illegitimate election, especially if Trump wins, because I think they've got to set the stage for saying, well, you know, these elections just don't work anymore. We need to have a new system.
That's a possibility.
Well, we've got the wonderful court. You know, the thing of it is, and Dave and I talked about this earlier in private, but I can see a scenario of where they finally say, well, okay, everything is just, there's too many questions about this election. We found ballots for Trump thrown in the trash. We found ballots for Biden in such and such a place. The post office hid this. They did that. They've set the trail here. So at some point in time, they say, you know what, this election thing, it was just such a massive fraud that we're going to put this election into the hands of the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives. That is a very possible scenario that I can see playing out of all of this corruption. Any thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, Mike, I could definitely see that. I mean, I guess I'll be a little bit optimistic that I hope it'll be a landslide, you know, and I do think it'll probably be for Trump, but who knows? I guess look to what Karl Rove says, because Karl Rove and John Kenneth Blackwell through the Council for National Policy and majority of their voting machines, remember the old Diebold machines? They're rigging it for Trump. You know, Karl Rove will be happier than a pig in crap. If you know, it looks like that Trump's going to win. So just look to Rove. Rove will show his poker face and you'll be able to tell. It was like he was deeply upset of how Romney lost Ohio in 2012 on Fox News. You can see that he was.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Was he not in on that? Because that he gave, you know, he couldn't play poker. That face gave everything away. So,
no, he was, both him and John Kenneth Blackwell, the former mayor of Cincinnati, they rigged the 2004 election for George H.W. Bush by winning Ohio over John Kerry. And of course, it didn't matter who won that election, just like some people would argue, it doesn't matter who wins this election. You know, it doesn't matter whoever wins, we lose. But I mean, I guess we'll see. I'm hoping that it'll be a landslide, but you are right though, Mike, in that they are setting it up to be contested for weeks or months. And if Trump wins, then, you know, there's going to be possible more chaos in the streets. And if Biden wins, Trump might not vacate the office of the presidency, which could lead to some crazy problems. We really don't know. It's all speculation at this point. I'm just saying what's best for the country is that there's a definitive win. At least, you know, because we know elections are rigged. You know, I mean, Mr. Bork, it's a, you know, you and I both know it's a crime to vote. You know, so I mean, but I mean, if you're looking at the pageantry of all of it, there needs to be a decisive win, hopefully, for Trump. But we'll see. Anything, I mean, who knows at this point? You know, last year this time I thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee by hook or by crook somehow, you know, and that didn't happen, so we'll see.
You mean over Biden this time?
Yes, it'll be it was gonna be Hillary Clinton versus Trump too.
Yeah, well, there's a guy named H.A. Goodman on YouTube that swears that she's going to be put in there at some time, so we'll see if he's right about that. He actually is one of the people that predicted, he's an insider as far as I'm concerned, but he predicted Trump was going to be president also last
time. Is anyone else looking at this in the eyes that I see it sometimes as, if you look back at history and look at all of the socialist countries, especially in Central and South America, look at what their elections evolved into? Have we not become the quintessential banana republic?
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm an expert on that. It does seem that way, doesn't it? And I really think they're setting this thing up. If you know, when I watch the mainstream media, you know, the enemy war footage known as the mainstream media. You know, I just look for the breadcrumbs they drop for us to sort of latch onto and plant seeds in our minds. And they've done a lot of breadcrumb dropping about, this election just may be very difficult to determine who the winner is. And it's going to be hard to know if we have a legitimate system anymore. And I think that's part of what they're planning, because in order to get the new system in place, we cannot have national elections. We have to have some kind of world system. So we have to delegitimize what's happening as far as elections go.
Good point. John, you have to leave in a few minutes. What do you got to add here in regard?
No, I mean, I guess we'll see. I'll be covering the election Tuesday evening on my channel. We've read the documents on YouTube for a 2020 election extravaganza. So that'll be fun. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I think, is when I'm going to start. Even if some polls close at 7, but they're not going to really have much, you know, totals in until 8. But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I kind of want it to be over. We've all talked about that. You know, I've gotten, you know, and I guess one thing, Mr. Bork, that you and I talk about, LB, is that they got more people now to vote forever. Like,
oh, yeah,
I can think of. I think it was last, so far it's the last 100 years more people voted in this election, or close to it. And so by what's all been said and done, this might be the most by population election that Americans have ever voted in by the end. Who knows?
Yep. Yeah, they've upped it by, I don't know, another two. It's up to about 2/3 of the people now, I think, that are voting. And it was less than half before. But I don't know if that was registered voters or not. You know, I haven't looked into that deeply. Since I found out, I got something to talk about next hour. But since I found out it was a crime to vote.
84 million have vote, Mr. I mean, LB. 84 have vote, LB. 84 million.
And yeah,
Texas
so far.
Shatters record of yes. So I think it's going to be over, easily over 100 million. Over 100.
The Republicans are going to vote in person, and they're going to go on, you know, this election day. So it's going to be a landslide, I believe. And it seems like it's a consensus that there's not going to be a declared winner that night. So we'll see. Maybe the virus will keep everyone from voting on that night. You know, that's the thing that I find interesting, that Fauci came out in 2017 and said, Donald Trump is going to be faced with a mystery virus, you know, in 2020. Oh, really? You know, that should put an end to this whole virus thing right there. People should say this thing's a scam. Yeah,
I got a scenario. Let's just run this one by just for giggles. What happens if on Saturday or Sunday, maybe late Sunday night, we have a shooting or two shootings across the country and major metropolitan areas where white police officers shoot blacks, and then we have mass chaos in those major cities, and then they declare a fraud in the election because of the riots, the people could not get to the polls.
Right. That's kind of what I was getting at. But, you know, that's a scenario, no doubt. And John and I talked about that off air this last month. So who knows what they got up their sleeve. Dave, you have to go next hour. Why don't you tell the folks about your program? It's on Saturdays, correct?
Yes, Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., Studio A. And this week I'm going to have a special guest, Mr. Mike Gaddy, is going to come on, and we're going to talk about part two of the Estes Park meetings and Agenda 2030.
2030. Wow. Mike Gaddy, who's that? Anyway,
highly suspect.
I should have known Mike a long time ago. Anyway, John, do you have any closing thoughts? We got about 2 minutes. And Mike said, he likes hearing you go off. So,
I'm glad, Dave, that you and Mike are covering, you know, the true origins of Agenda 2020, which morphed into Agenda 2030. So it's very, very crucial in doing so, because it needs to be out there and it needs to be exposed. And I guess one last thing in closing, did you guys see the letter that Trump wrote to the United Nations for United Nations Day that got released a few days ago? Did any of y'all see that in closing real quick?
No,
I have not.
Go read it, because he is kissing the United Nations butt. And then praising himself about his Abraham Peace Accords, and praising himself while deeply getting down and kissing the UN's butt. It's
what did he say specifically?
I have to bring it up. But if you guys read it for yourself, it's definitely there. I'll let me bring it up real quick. I don't, because we're about to leave.
Got about a minute, 2 minutes.
I don't know if I can get it up in time. Let me see if I can get it. Bring up the document. Here we go. Proclamation on United Nations Day 2020. Today, on the 71st anniversary of the United Nations, we celebrate its commitment to peace and security, prosperity, human rights, rule of law, and development. The victorious allies conceived in the UN in the ashes of two devastating world wars, welcoming all nations to join together to ensure peace and promote economic prosperity. As a founding member of the United Nations, which was chartered in San Francisco and its headquarters in New York, the United States remains dedicated to those noble UN purposes and principles. We also recognize that the successes of the UN and its specialized agencies were built on the precepts and ensure its good functioning, independence, impartiality, good governance, accountability, and transparency. So then he talks about, because of our continuing belief in the UN's promise and our desire to see it be effective over the next 75 years, we are determined to make the UN more agile, effective, efficient, transparent, and accountable. These efforts will help the UN improve, adapt to crisis, and reach its full potential. If the UN is to be an effective organization, it must focus on the real problems of the world, including terrorism, the oppression of women, forced labor, drug cartels, human and sex trafficking, religious persecution, and the ethnic cleansings of religious minorities. So then he goes on to talk about the Abraham Peace Accord, the Serbian-Kosovo peace, withdrawing off of the World Health Organization. Of course, he funneled all that money into Bill Gates' Gavi. And he goes, the United States proudly remains a large and most reliable supporter of the United Nations and its founding principles. It's in that spirit that we call on all nations to join the United States in working to ensure the UN continues to live up its noble ideals of liberty, prosperity, and the pursuit of world peace.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks, Dave, for joining us this hour. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Mike and I will be back for another hour. Stay tuned.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Enough! anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork, the host of this wonderful program that my good friend Mike Gaddy titled. And it's a great title. And we're here today talking about elections. We had our good friends John Breeson and Scorpio Dave on last hour. It's going to be Mike Gaddy and myself today at the second hour. And we're going to talk about things that are related to the elections. But before we get into that, I'd like to thank Revolution Radio for letting us broadcast with them. And if you could, it is listener supported. Like you heard at the break, and we could use your help. Donations are always readily accepted and thankfully accepted. You go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. Go to the website at those addresses. It's the same website. Go at the top of the page, hit the donations button, and you know, give about $5. It takes just a few minutes to do that. We also have Patreon that's on there on the orange button. Also snail mail, the old-fashioned way. You can send a donation, check, money order, or other means if you have it. Yeah, drop in an envelope and send it to the address. That's at the bottom of the page. And it goes to Michigan. And Michigan, that's a funny state this year, I tell you. But anyway, yeah, Terry's there, and she'll readily process that and put it to good use to keep these, you know, the freedom of speech open on this platform. It takes your help. Really, really thank you. I hope everyone's having a great week. It's kind of weird times we live in. It's unfortunate. But anyway, yeah, it's good to have, you know, a variety of, or I don't know, it's a spread of people that are on this program, Dare to Think Out Loud. John's in his mid-30s, and I don't want to tell you how old Mike is, but each of us have a decade approximately between us. And yeah, I know... Mike is really happy to see younger gentlemen, as far as John goes, have interest in this. Because basically, I think, well, I know Mike and myself are doing this for the future of America, or the children. And, you know, it's good to see their interest. I know a lot of the people are liberals that are getting into voting, as we mentioned last hour. We talked about more people voting than ever now, but I have a feeling that a lot of these new voters are liberals, and the media really has controlled their minds, let alone what they've learned in the schools, you know. Anyway, Mike, what do you have to add to that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's you know, there's so many ways to go with this, but yes, I am extremely excited when I hear people like John Breeson get so emotionally involved, because freedom and liberty are emotional items. They are things that if you aren't passionate about freedom and liberty, you might as well give it up, because you're a slave. Because if it's not in your mind, if you don't think about it, and we have to understand in this endeavor of the people who are both, you know, the remnant and the masses, is the fact that we have to understand there are people who just aren't programmed this way. There are people who are willing slaves. There are people who enjoy being a slave, and they just want to be comfortable. They don't want anybody to bother their comfort with freedom or liberty. That's too much of a chore. But it's fantastic to see people like John who really get into this. He's really immersed himself into this. He's got his YouTube program. I would you know, encourage everyone to go watch John and his group on his YouTube. We've read the documents. Spend some time. You will learn an awful lot from John. And LB and I, or at least I'll say I am, I won't push on LB too much, but I'm getting long in the tooth. I've been doing this research and study for the better part of 35 years now. And you know, it was kind of funny. I was looking at some of my older articles that were published, and this morning I looked at one that was 11 years old that I had written in 2009. Pardon me. And in that article, I mentioned a fake pandemic with mandatory vaccines 11 years ago. So, you know, I'm not a soothsayer, but if you've been studying anything about how these governments evolve over a history, over a period of time, and we've certainly got lots of history to compare them to, but most people don't want to believe that America could go the same way as these other countries have done. But it doesn't have anything to do with what you call it. Governments have a natural evolvement, and they are eventually going to become totally tyrannical and despotic, because you can't stop it. It's the nature of government. It's like the only way you can prevent someone from becoming 13 when they're 12 is to kill them. The only way you can prevent governments from becoming tyrannical and despotic is to kill it, do away with it. So it's going to do what it's going to do. That's the natural occurrence, and that's the natural cycle.
Yes. Interesting about the pandemic that you predicted, and not really predicted, but it comes to being, like you said. You know, I'm no soothsayer either, really. I believe I was given some divine intervention in regard to waking up or understanding what was going on. But as far as my knowledge, I did my own research. And you kind of can predict these things are going to happen based on, they pretty much tell you what's going on. I don't know why that is. Someone asked me that the other day. Oh, it was my friend Nathan. Matter of fact, he said, you know, I told him they give us warnings all the time. And I wanted to talk about two of them that have come up in the Supreme Court nomination or the confirmation hearings, the last couple of ones that have been done, Kavanaugh and Barrett, that were interesting pursuant to what I have discovered. We talked about it last hour, being it a crime to vote. And, you know, that's my main position on this whole thing, being voluntary. And the reason they put you in a criminal activity is to take your rights away, your natural rights and constitutionally protected rights, so they can jerk you around in this, what I call, communist system. It's been a slow progress for the last 150 years, but yeah, there was, not to get on my soapbox in regards to this, but yeah, I'm drag it on a little bit, maybe more than I should be. But yeah, during the Kavanaugh hearing, Lindsey Graham was talking to Kavanaugh about him being nonpartisan in his decisions. And Kavanaugh said, I don't even vote. And all Lindsey Graham said was very interesting. So I looked at that as some of their disclosure on what my book's about. Anyway, I listened to the Barrett hearings, and Ted Cruz said, I was asking Barrett about, they were tying it to the ability to buy firearms and the criminal clause in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. Of course, Ted Cruz only read the short part of it, but he did say that the you can't do certain things based on other crimes. And it said he did read, you know, he didn't read the part that the right to vote is denied, except he did read, though, except for participation in rebellion or other crimes, which says that acting in rebellion is a crime, and the other crimes is, you know, pursuant to anything that this new government under Reconstruction does. So they're telling you that rebellion's a crime, and voting is tied to that. So they just added another, I don't know, several million voters to the criminal activity during this election cycle. So I find that interesting. But again, that they're telling you, they're kind of hinting and telling you kind of tacitly what's going on with this system. Anyway, that's the one thing I wanted to bring out. I think it's interesting that they do tell you what's going on. As far as the virus, I've seen several movies over the past, what, 40 years, Mike, that they've hinted around viruses and things of that nature, scaring people into things happening. And it's just mental conditioning that they've done to Americans over the past 40, 50 years with these movies. So,
well, if you go back and take a look at it, LB, the United States has been the number one producer and investigator and creator of germ warfare, biological warfare, have produced many more than the other countries on this globe, have been much more highly involved in it. Not only that, but they have gone into other aspects. Especially operating through DARPA, the defense program of agency, advanced research program agency. And what's their research into? Mind control and also biological weapons and what have you. So, you know, we know that the control center, or basically the headquarters of DARPA, is at Virginia Tech University. And so what happens at Virginia Tech? You have a mass shooting. And so dealing in mind control, you have to ask yourself, okay, well, how did that happen? And then, you know, later we have a mass shooting at Fort Hood, Texas, Major Hassan, and he allegedly shoots the place up. And where had Major Hassan just transferred from, but the Defense Agency Research Project, agency in at Virginia Tech. And he had been involved in what was called the Warrior Reset Program, which was an adaptation of the Russian program, where they were trying to deal with, the syndrome and with their soldiers. And their problem was in Russia is that their soldiers suffering through these mental issues had actually not only committed suicide, but had started killing each other with these programs. And so then America buys into that. And then we have it come to the United States. We have a mass shooting at Virginia Tech, and we have a mass shooting at Fort Hood. Imagine that. But our country, our government, not our country, our government has been involved in researching mind control, Operation Paperclip, other things that were involved in that, and MK Ultra, and then you can go into other programs. And governments end up using these weapons that they develop, they end up using them on their enemy. And mm-hmm. who becomes the enemy of government but the people they are that are, who are being governed? It may sound, I'm maybe scattering it out here, but it's all a massive program. And of course, Bubus Americanus can't buy into it because you got to wave the flag and pledge allegiance.
Yes, I remember some story of history that the U.S. military or the army gave the Indians a bunch of diseased blankets way back when. Are you aware of that story? I can't remember what it was.
Smallpox. They gave smallpox. Let's not forget Tuskegee, where we vaccinated a lot of black people with syphilis and they didn't even know it. So a government that will do that, to people, how do you suddenly believe they got religion and they wouldn't give it to other people as well? Because anybody as diabolical as to vaccinate a race of people, and see, that's what really troubles me today, is how much blacks trust their government, especially after they gave the Tuskegee gave them syphilis and didn't tell them about it.
What year did that take place?
I forgot the year, LB. I was just trying to think of that myself, but that was a great project. There was also, I wrote an article back around 2005, 2006, and I actually went into the programs where the United States military had used members of the military in secret programs. And people who were in uniform didn't even know that they were parts of these programs. And there were lawsuits and settlements and all kinds of stuff. And it's all hidden from the American public. A government that will experiment on its own members of its military will do anything. You can't put anything beyond the pale of this government, because governments are going to do what they eventually do. And eventually governments are instituted by men to protect the good people from the bad people in society, and governments evolve into protecting themselves from everybody. So the government is established by this elite group of people, which we have now in America, have had for ages, who control the government, and eventually they begin to use that government to control the people.
Yeah.
And that's what we're witnessing.
Well, they do experiments with their own citizens too, like the nuclear test from the 50s, was that?
Yeah, at White Sands testing ground in New Mexico.
Right.
Well, they actually took military personnel there to use as guinea pigs as well, and didn't tell them.
Right. Well,
and that got shuffled out too, as well as civilians. But they also used military personnel to check for radiation to see how it was going to work on various people.
Well, that's why I like to study law, because if you understand that slaves are considered property, and just like concept applies to slavery or slaves, I think that the United States deems military men and women as their property when they sign up. So that gives them the excuse to use them for these experiments. But they really don't tell them this. That's why I impose, or not impose, but impress on people that they should understand law, because the most important maxim of law there is the maxim, the contract makes the law. And people that become citizens are, elect to be citizens, are, going to be subject to these things. And it's their plausible deniability in regards to, doing these things that can damage you. Because it's up to you to understand these things. And that gets back to what I was explaining with it's a crime to vote. They've got you agreeing to being used as a guinea pig. They've turned you into a criminal. And if you look at enough case law and what happens to prisoners, when they go to prison, they're deemed slaves. So people are voting for their own slavery, is my point. Simple as that. And they've set it up to make you their property, and they can do whatever they want with you. That's my whole foundation of my work. That's the whole foundation. And people have seemed to want to ignore it the last 20 years since I've released it. And they've done nothing but step up their program. Like we talked about last hour, they've got more people voting now than ever before, based on this demagoguery or this, you know, the Trump phenomenon.
Well, go ahead, Mike. I would like to jump back to going back to this testing on military personnel.
Yep.
And to stop and think, it went away very quickly. But, folks, do you remember Gulf War syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
That almost 300,000 soldiers came down with, and then suddenly there were lawsuits and other stuff, and then poof, it disappears from the public from public view.
They call that the memory hole. It went down the memory hole.
And the thing that I remember very distinctly when all of this was going on was they linked, in some respects, in the lawsuit, they linked this Gulf War syndrome to the mandated vaccinations that the military had to take before they were deployed. And they so then we come up that, well, were we testing vaccinations on military personnel? Because if you're if you've ever been in the military, if you're ever deployed anywhere, you go through a series of vaccinations. You have no choice. They are mandatory. So what a wonderful petri dish to test out your new germs or what have you on with a group of people. And let's not forget what Henry Kissinger said about the military being just poor, dumb animals that fit only for foreign policy. And let's also not forget the wonderful Barbara Bush when questioned about returning body bags and what have you from Iraq in 2004 and 5. She said, and said it on national TV, well, you know, why should I trouble my beautiful mind about that? If you do not understand these elitists and their thoughts about the common person out here, that is that they view as their slave to do whatever they want to, you know, why didn't someone, you know, when Henry Kissinger said that the military just poor dumb animals fit only for foreign policy, why was he still allowed to be in government office after that? Why didn't anyone say anything to Barbara Bush? You know, they praised her and had this huge state funeral for her when she passed away. And she had said that she didn't need to trouble her beautiful mind. Why should she and her family trouble their beautiful minds about body bags of containing military service personnel? Why should they trouble themselves? People, if you can't see what's happening here, and again, I can provide you some sources to go back and research that Gulf War syndrome and how they linked it to vaccinations. And they were ending up in some court cases that the federal judges just suddenly would not hear. Imagine that.
Oh, Mike, you're just an anti-vaxxer.
Thank you.
Well, that's what they use against people. And they've got a clip with Biden recently, or a few years ago, he said to some military men he addressed, he goes, "Clap, you dumb bastards." So they're using, the Trump campaign's using that against him. But it didn't make military people feel all that good about Biden anyway. I guess there's a sentiment from these people that, like you said, that's what Kissinger said back in the 70s.
Well, LB, here's a simple question. This Gulf War syndrome was only the veterans, returning veterans, saw the effects from this.
Did it happen to all of them or just certain ones?
Well, about half of them, somewhere around 300,000 of them came down with the symptoms. And then how do we know the others didn't in some way later, because suddenly it went into the memory hole?
Right. Said. Right. Right.
So how exactly. do we know how many truly suffered from that? We don't know.
Yeah, they block all these things. And, you know, last hour we talked about the media, and it's there seems to be two different factions, you know. But I can tell you that the CNN, for example, they lie. They write out lie. Fox is maybe somewhat deceptive, maybe over rambunctious about some of their reporting. But it's unbelievable how much... all the other stations or major networks, they just flat out lie. And I don't know what's going on with Trump, but, you know, he calls them fake news. There's some truth to that, you know. So what exactly is going on? That's my question. You know, I'm not into Q, but it seems like some of it could be true. Anyway, the other guys aren't here to talk about that. So,
well, LB, any psychological operation, psychological warfare operation, has to contain at least particles of truth, or no one would ever believe them. You hook the people on the truth, and then you kill them with the lies.
Right. So, like that kind of feeds into the Democrats or the liberals being thrown under the bus, so to speak, and we know. You know, the other side's not doing everything 100% honest. But it seems like they're telling more truth, which tells me they're building that red party that I've been talking about for 20 years up. You know, that's all they can be doing, I think. Or there's that other common law maxim that I know they use against people, which is kind of strange, but I guess it gets back to people using common sense, which it's not too common anymore. They use a maxim against people. Let those who wish to be deceived be deceived. And that's what they do. They deceive people. What's that? What did the CIA say back in the, what was it, the 80s?
We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
Right.
William Casey, 1981.
Right. And that ties into the Communist Manifesto. There's a clause out of there. I'm not going to recite it. I've done it a lot of times already. That basically says they're going to turn everything upside down and inside out. And that fits right in with what Casey said. Anyway, we got a break. Be back in a few minutes. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Still got another segment, another 30 minutes. Stay tuned, folks. See you in a few minutes.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Still got another segment left here, another half hour. Thanks for joining us. You got with me this hour, Mike Gaddy, extraordinaire researcher, or researcher extraordinaire. I think, I don't know about Dave, but I know Mike, John, and myself, we all get into the documents, and I decided long ago that that's where you're going to find your evidence or the truth. You know, even though law is twisted around and convoluted, at least you can use their law against them. And as I referenced last half hour, that's what my whole thing's been for, 20 years or so, and 25 years. I've done pretty well in court when I appear and help people with court actions. And seems like no one's really willing to get out. They like to lock that that Marxist fence they put up. And you know, we have the ability to live under what they call Republican freedom, but everyone chooses the Communist Association, which was created under the 14th Amendment, which is unfortunate. But I think with upcoming, that people have to look at what we're talking about here a lot closer, because like Mike mentioned last half hour, that they're going to keep on going. It's got to be done away with. And my position is, you know, I'm pro-union. And at this point, with the New World Order, China's said to be building up their military. Maybe they're going to be the next superpower. We don't know this for a fact. Maybe that's why Trump has built our military back up. We don't know the exact facts behind that. But ultimately, what Americans have to understand is, the United States, that entity, is built on privateer, private monopoly situations. And what the states have to do is get educated and create their own federal government if they're to stay in power. And what's been done with the American people has been deception and fraud. And until they understand that and come to that realization, this isn't going to end. It's going to keep on going. And like I said, they're giving us hints, and you know, for the last 150 years, and it's up to people to pull it out of that that hole that we're in. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Mike. You want to continue on anything this half hour?
Yeah, I'd like to go back. I think this is a can of worms that should be opened up again, is this Gulf War syndrome thing. And I was looking back at government records, and the Institute of Medicine in 2013 said about 300,000 Gulf War veterans suffer, which means continuing from back to that time frame, suffer from chronic multi-symptom illness, CMI. And it says this is a series of symptoms that cannot be medically explained. Now, isn't that strange that you've got 300,000 that they will admit who suffer from this something that cannot be explained? And then I also went to a series about, it's called the cover-up of Gulf War Syndrome, A Question of National Integrity. Wow, imagine that, A Question of National Integrity.
Integrity. And this,
Yeah, as if the government ever had
it. Government has that, yeah.
Yeah, and so there is a great report on that for people who would like to look at it, and you will find it under GulfWarVets.com. And I just thought it was amazing that there is such a cover-up of this. And I mentioned in an article, let me go back and see when I wrote this article, February the 7th of 2005, so almost 16 years ago when I wrote this article. And one of my questions was, it says, what about our servicemen and women from Desert Storm? What is Gulf War Syndrome, and what are its origins? Why did the Pentagon refuse to comply with Public Law 105-85 as it pertained to our soldiers before their deployment to the present Iraq theater, which was 2005? So the Pentagon refused to comply with a law, imagine that, in deploying the soldiers to Iraq in 2004, 3 and 4. So, and then my question was, did the Department of Defense, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Department of Veterans Affairs ever lie or otherwise participate in a cover-up? Well, the answer is yes. And so when the government lies or covers up something, what are we to think about? Were they involved? Do people cover up things they're not involved in or they don't profit from? So that is a question. And the one thing I've noticed about this article that was written, like I said, almost 16 years ago, is almost every link that I listed in that article has been covered up. The links are gone. They have disappeared. And also the other thing I talked about was going back to Vietnam and look at the Agent Orange. Looked at the cover-up that the military did over Agent Orange, which, you know, probably didn't originate from a shot, but it originated, and they protected a chemical company in that. And then you look at so many other things that I listed in here that we just do not keep up with anymore. We don't. The lawsuits disappeared on this stuff. And the only common denominator among these service personnel that ended up with this Gulf War syndrome, the only common denominator was vaccinations.
Vaccinations, yeah.
And so now we're looking at another wonderful vaccination, and the millions who will gladly run to take that, even with the history that probably most of them don't know and don't want to know. That is troubling to me, LB.
No doubt. It's on the population now, just not the military guinea pigs, as you referenced. It's really sad, but no one's working together. I've said for years that, you know, if the so-called movement was together, we would have our own intelligence gathering division. But what they do with media today is just every day it's something new, you know. They just bombard people with garbage, and they cover all these things up. Does anyone know maybe in chat that President Trump supposedly has done things with the VA and things? Has he looked into the Gulf War syndrome and these problems being put into the memory hole, just ignored and kicked to the corner and ignored?
Well, LB, there's another thing they're not talking about. You're not seeing it on, especially on the Communist News Network or FAUX channel.
Full news, yeah.
Is the increase in veteran suicides. Veteran suicides have increased 20 to 30%. Where is Tucker Carlson and Anderson Cooper and what's-her-face Maddow covering this? Why isn't anyone mentioning the fact that we've seen increased suicides among, and we were at 22 a day. What's it now? We also have a new phenomenon with the veterans, and it's called parking lot suicides. Veterans are killing themselves in Veterans Administration hospital parking lots. Are they trying to tell people something that's going on, or why is that being ignored?
I didn't hear about that.
And then we have the Veterans Administration fudging the numbers on these things. Imagine that. What are they hiding, people?
That's what it takes, unity, people working together. You know, you have to dismiss this garbage that they keep feeding everyone and start working together and keep these things alive. I know one woman that I worked with for about 20 years, Ingrid is her name. She has VacLib, and she's been on the vaccination issue for many, many years. And she feels good about things right now as far as things looking positive, but she's in a small group of people, you know, that are doing whatever. And unfortunately, she got involved in the Q thing, which I believe there is something going on with that. There are weird things with Trump, and it seems like they're trying to drain the swamp. But you know, as far as the real positive things, I don't think we're going to see it. You know, it'd be nice to see some of these people prosecuted, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Whoa! Draining the swamp. Help me out with that, please, LB. I'm lost on that one because all I see is alligators. So tell me where he's draining the swamp. I need to see some proof of that. Please help.
I know. Like we talked about, they're not going to prosecute anyone, but they are kicking Biden to the corner. You know, they're kicking him down, man.
Well, so what? Nothing's going to happen.
The people have to make it happen.
Well, you know, and the people have no power, LB. The government has the power.
Right.
I tell you what, let's form a judge and a jury, and let's try Hunter Biden for crimes, and let's try Joe Biden. Let's issue indictments, and let's see. We're the people. Let's see how far we get with that.
That's my point. When everyone's fractured, they're not going to get anywhere with anything. But if they hammer it, get together and hammer it, millions of people, what are they going to do with that? Ignore it? I don't think so.
Your chances of getting together a million people to agree on what's for dinner, and we really believe that we're going to get millions of people to actually stand up against the criminal government when most of them just love it. Look how many of them are voting.
Now,
they're authorizing government.
I understand. I'm just making a point. I guess my point is telling people it's your fault because you tend to go after the bright, shiny things and get distracted, you know. So it's a more open warning than they give us, you know. So until people understand that they have to unify and stay the course, as it said, nothing's going to get done. I know off air you told me about a week ago, what people have to do is stop voting. That's not going to happen. I've tried to get people to do that over the last 20 years based on a concept, you know, of you're a criminal by voting. They don't care.
Well, LB, the people have all gotten together and decided they want government. We need to give it up. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
My grandfather told me years and years and years ago, and I didn't understand, and I'm going to say a bad word here, but, you know, so be it. He told me that you can add all the mayonnaise you want and you can stir like hell. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. And the majority of the American public is chicken shit. Wear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets back to the Bible. You know, I tell people the Bible freed me, you know, for man's, you know, oppression. And they don't understand that, I guess. But what you just described is something, just a short passage out of the Bible that God said, you don't want a king or a leader. And there's, you know, just tons and tons of, you know, proper advisement in the Bible that people ignore. And of course, over the last 20 years, I've seen the Bible been ripped to shreds by the New World Order.
Well, you're speaking
of, that goes back to the synagogue of Satan.
You're speaking of 1 Samuel chapter 8, where they beg for a king and God says, okay, you can have a king. And here's what's going to happen when you get one.
Right.
You know, your men are going to march before the chariots. You know, your women are going to become servants. He goes through the whole thing, and the people said, oh, that's okay. I want a king anyway. That's
right.
The same thing we're seeing today. Exactly the same thing. The people are still begging for a king. And they have one.
Yes.
It's called government.
Government. I was going to say... that I don't know about Dave per se, but I know you, John, and myself believe in the higher existence and, you know, Yeshua, as I like to say, the savior of mankind 2,000 years ago, and people are ignoring it totally. Even the so-called Christians today don't understand it because they want that king.
Well, LB, if you get a new job, are the people going to ante up $200 million for the celebration?
No. It's hard to get money out of these people.
They do it in this country every 4 years.
What I don't understand is the liberals can get all kinds of money for destroying, you know, these people that are destroying small businesses and whatever they do, going out and terrorizing as Black Lives Matter and Antifa. But, you know, you try to get money out of so-called conservatives, it's like pulling teeth.
Oh, conservatives contribute plenty of money as long as they're to make bombs and stuff to kill people with. The conservatives get their money on the war side, and the liberals get theirs on the welfare side. It's the two W's.
Mm-hmm.
And so
wars and welfare, huh?
Yeah, wars and welfare are the absolute heart and soul of this government. And so you're going to get the right to vote for their guy as long as there's war. And I had a head of a Republican Party in Colorado one time tell me that war is the health of the state. War is the health of the Republican Party. And that is true. You know, you got to be bombing somebody, and we've been bombing people for 19 years. So we've been, you know, we've been killing people we don't know. And, of course, that's biblical. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. And
hey, don't include me in that box. My government.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, and then go kill your enemies. We don't know that we have any enemies. The only enemies we know that we have are the ones that the government tells us are our enemies. And the government's basic number one tool is a lie and deception. So we are agreeing to kill people we don't know because our government told us they were bad. And it's insanity. This is legalized insanity, what's happening in this country.
Now, like I said, we're never going to be free from it unless people decide to get rid of the entity called the United States, because that's been its purpose since day one.
Well, you just talked about how many more people are voting now, so obviously we are losing that battle, LB.
I know. I know they're probably laughing that they didn't people didn't pay attention to what I wrote about 20 years ago. They've just accelerated it. But like I mentioned, you know, they're giving hints. They're saying things like, Bork, you know, told you about this. But look, we're winning. We just had millions more of you get into what he advised against. Because they control everything.
They're not hinting, LB. They just come flat out and tell you.
Yeah.
They're telling you what they're going to do. I mean, you know, you go back to Justice Frankfurter, when he came right out and said that this government is controlled by people behind the scenes that you never see. Oh, well, you know, he must have been an idiot. He didn't know. Kissinger says that your soldiers are just poor, dumb animals fit only for foreign policy. Well, he said that. He told you. But he's still a hero. If he died tomorrow, they'd have a mass state funeral for him. This country embraces liars. They love them with a passion.
That gets back to what I said about Grant and the foundation.
You mean Useless S. Grant?
Yeah. The foundation is grafting corruption.
Hiram Ulysses was his real name. Hiram Ulysses had a serious drinking problem, and
right.
William Tecumseh Sherman was mentally insane or mentally unstable, and of course, Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee were great Christians, so we have to demoralize and make demons out of the people who were truly Christian people, and we have to embrace the alcoholics and the insane. That's the U.S. government for you.
Yes. Not to diminish what you pulled out and discovered with the inception of the government, which I didn't center on. I centered on Reconstruction, but it's always been deceptive, and I don't know. I just don't understand it. Brainwashing is a real effective tool. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that they control everything. You know, people get upset about Alex Jones being kicked off social media, what, a year or two years ago? I was kicked off 5 years ago because I tell the truth. That guy's just a fraud and part of the problem. But, you know, he's still being revered as being special and whatever. He was on Joe Rogan again the other day. And, So the deception continues.
LB, we do not have to worry about brainwashing the American public. Their brain has corroded to the point it's locked shut anyway. No use to wash it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's funny they play games with the Pledge of Allegiance up front. The Democrats removed during their convention or whatever it was, a few week, month or whatever it was ago, presidential convention. They took the word God out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
It wasn't in it originally.
It wasn't.
The socialist who wrote it did not put that in there. I believe it was Eisenhower who had that installed in 1953.
Right. But they took it out, I'm saying. So they're kind of reversing things, but the pledge itself was socialist-based, like you just said.
No, they're reverting back to their original socialist roots. They're going back to the wonderful Bellamy who wrote that thing, who said that right. God was a socialist.
Oh, Bellamy was kicked out of the church because he was found out to be a socialist.
Yeah, well, he was preaching that Jesus was a socialist from the pulpit, and it kind of upset a few folks, and he lost his position, so he wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, and now the wonderful right wing in America will embrace a socialist mantra and stand up and pledge it and get upset at you if you don't like it.
Right. Yeah, just mind games. Mind games was my point of them taking God out of it. But then the Republicans come back and say, oh, no, we believe in God.
Well, the Republicans do believe in God. The problem is their God is government.
Yeah, basically. Who said the acronym for God was gold, oil, and what was it?
Defense Department, probably.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Diamonds, I think. It's all about the riches is what that was about. Yeah, it's very sad. I wrote about the pledge a few years back and talked about the brainwashing. And I'll post it in chat if anyone's interested in reading it. I know there's only a couple women that really read my articles and have donated to me over the past several months. But I don't know. The men know everything. That's why everything's a mess.
Well, at least you have somebody donating to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been good for a few people. We got good things going on in a couple of states of the union right now, and it's expanding, so we'll see what happens. Wanted it to happen 20 years ago, but people have decided to waste 20 years instead of getting going on something. You know, it's unfortunate. No one unifies. Everyone likes to, I don't know, play in their little sandbox, their mental sandbox.
But LB, they have unified. They've unified against us. That you have to understand, the people have unified. They just didn't unify with us.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. I know you do. You're just making a point.
Nah, I like to give you the dickens sometimes, LB, just for fun.
Well, like you said, I kind of laughed at it. Well, the people just need to stop voting. Yeah, yeah, and I kind of equated it with I've heard for years, well, just stop. Everyone just stop paying your taxes. Well, no one's going to do that because they're afraid to go to prison or whatever the case may be.
Fear. They are governed
fear.
By
yeah,
fear.
Definitely. Fear and, you know, voting's a little different thing. They don't think anything can be done unless their daddy government fixes it for them. So yeah. The voting issue is a little different, but yeah, the taxes are definitely fear. And even speaking out loud about these things.
Hey, LB.
People are afraid to, you know.
Let me get in a plug before we run out of time here. On Sunday on Studio A here, I am going to be talking with my son, Christopher, a graduate of Virginia Military Institute, and we are going to discuss the atrocity in Virginia of where the superintendent of VMI was forced to resign by the governor, and Thomas Stonewall Jackson's statue is being removed, and they're implementing diversity everywhere. So we're going to discuss that Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Join us, please.
Yep, thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend, folks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.